Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
So the counselor said, so are you saying that you would trade places with them if you could? And he said, absolutely. You're saying you would give up your life so that they could live with their families, they could have their family? And he said, yeah, I would do that for them. And she said, well, isn't that what they did for you?
I took a drive up Highway 6 to near Valley Mills to record this episode with Dave Welsh. He joined the Marines at 18, and now he and his wife Erica own Cactus Rose Ranch. In this episode of the Waco Experience, an American Story, we're going to learn how working with horses builds confidence for people of all ages, and how their nonprofit at the ranch is a key to healing heroes with horses. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. You can learn more about this program and sponsors, and find links to the podcast version of this program online at thewacoexperience.com. And our sponsors are the best. White Bluffs Construction, Custom Building, Home Remodeling. I encourage you, call Seth at 254-227-2002 and schedule White Bluffs Construction to build your patio, deck, or pergola. Visit their website, whitebluffsconstruction.com. My wife and I had questions about healthcare insurance. Monica Shannon of Texas Healthcare for You listened to us, answered our questions, and helped my family to find the right coverage. Call Monica today at 254-339-3421. Visit the website txhealthcareforyou.com. That's txhealthcare, the number 4, and the letter u.com. Biddy and Bo's Coffee offers hot and cold beverages, catering, and provides employment for people with disabilities. Visit Biddy and Bo's Coffee today at 110 Franklin in Waco. Chord Buddy is the world's best way to learn guitar. 100% U.S. made, this learning system will have you playing real music on a real guitar right away. Learn to play guitar today at chordbuddy.com. Featured today on the program, Cactus Rose Ranch. Young, old, or in between, learning how to work with a horse is confidence building. Cactus Rose Ranch offers individual lessons or monthly memberships. Contact them for riding lessons, ranch parties, horse boarding, and their nonprofit program, Healing Heroes with Horses, online at thecactusroseranch.com. Well, D. Scott here, and one of the great things about doing the Waco Experience, an American Story, is that I get to go on location. Today we're out at the Cactus Rose Ranch, and we're going to be talking to Dave Welsh. Dave, welcome to the show. Give us an introduction. Tell us what's going on out here.
Well, I appreciate you having me on the show, Scott. First of all, we have a bunch of different things that we do out here between horse riding lessons. That's the main thing that we do. But we also offer private parties, private events. We have a 35,000 gallon pool that people really love to enjoy. In addition to that, we run a number of programs for veterans, first responders, law enforcement. We have a program called Healing Heroes with Horses.
I'll have to say, it's a beautiful drive coming out here. But it is a drive to get out here.
Right.
So let's tell people how to find Cactus Rose Ranch.
Well, the easiest way to do that is on our website, which is thecactusroseranch.com. And that also directs you over to our Healing with Horses program. You can find information there as well. But on the primary website, there's actually a drop pin, there's full directions, the whole deal. And you can also give us a call, and we'd love to touch base with you individually. And that really makes it easier for you to get here. That phone number is 254-229-5059.
So you have both a for-profit ranch.
Correct.
So working ranch right here in the heart of Texas. I can't think of anything more American than being out on a ranch in the middle of Texas.
I totally agree.
So let's talk about the business side of this, and then we'll talk about the nonprofit side.
Okay. About 6-7 years ago. Well, it's been longer than that now, but my wife and I had been feeling called out to Central Texas, and we were looking for a job opportunity to come out this way. And eventually the Lord opened those doors. We were able to move out here. Through a series of circumstances, we ended up ranching full time. The Lord opened the door of opportunity for us to do that. So we've been doing that full time for coming up on 3 years now. Primary thing is the horse riding school. What the passion there is teaching students of all ages. We have beginners from every age, intermediate and advanced students as well, but teaching them more about riding properly, connecting with the horse emotionally, using body language, communicating with the horse in a way that the horse understands. It comes together in an incredible way. It's just kind of unique and different than what most other riding schools are doing in general.
There's something special about horses. Tell us, Dave, about your perspective on having horses.
Horse is not naturally man's best friend. There's a reason dogs are called man's best friend. They're a little easier to bond with. Not to mention horses are obviously, they're much bigger. They're incredibly intelligent, but they have, just like dogs do, just like other animals, they have incredible personalities that are unique on their own. And what often we make the mistake of saying is, oh, this horse is a stubborn horse. This horse is a feisty horse. This horse is just a sweetheart and all those things. But we don't always focus on the actual personality of the horse. And a lot of times it's not the horse that's making mistakes, so to speak, or not acting right. It's the way that the human is interacting with the horse and not having the understanding and the foundation and the knowledge to communicate properly. And when you begin to realize that, when you begin to learn to read body language and understand that, and sometimes you got to think outside the box, and that's where we come in, because we help people learn to analyze that. One of my favorite quotes, it took me a little while to wrap my mind around this. There's no teaching, there's only learning. I can't force you. I can sit there and teach you all day long, but I can't force you to understand it, accept it. So I have to create an environment of learning that makes you want to learn and accept that. And it's the same that's true for the horse. You can't teach them anything in that sense. You can't make them learn. You can't force them to do it. No matter how big and strong you are, you'll never be stronger than that horse. Even the little ones, they're pretty powerful. And so you have to learn to communicate and to help them learn in a way that they understand.
Some of your students that are going to come out here are not going to be lifelong horse folk.
Right.
They're going to come out, have this experience, learn, and then take those lessons with them into their life.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about some of those lessons that you see, how they help our young folk and middle-aged folk and old people,
right,
like me.
Absolutely. So one of the biggest things right off the bat is confidence. That's a huge deal. We start off with doing a lot of balance drills and things like that that really get people comfortable and confident with the horse. But before that, we even start on the ground and just getting people confident with being able to handle the horse. Again, we teach our horses, or we help our horses learn, all these different training aspects to where even the smallest child or the oldest adult can handle them, regardless of their experience level, and we teach them that foundation to communicate with the horse, to get that horse to be able to back out of their space smoothly and easily. And when they can do that, then we can ask the horse to follow us. Once they've understood that, don't come into my space bubble without me inviting you, gives people a whole new level of confidence, because they're not afraid that the horse is going to run over them anymore. And that's not always, sometimes we have ones that are overconfident and they think they can do anything. And so we kind of try to wrangle that in a little bit, harness that in a little bit, but use that confidence in a positive way. Not only confidence, but motor skills. There's so many, especially young riders, but as you know how it is, as we get older, our joints don't quite work as well as they used to. The recovery process is a little longer when you get injured or you get hurt. So that's one of the aspects as well. We're not a therapeutic riding center. I'm not a physical therapist or anything like that. But a lot of these things that we do are extremely effective, again, for all ages, but especially if somebody is looking to build mobility in middle age and older ages, it really makes a big difference. Just sitting on the horse naturally is going to just help stretch and some of the exercises that we do on horseback, those kind of things. One of the things that we focus on out here is not just communication with the horse, but communication with each other. And especially with our young riders and our teenage riders, that's a big deal, because in a lot of ways, they've lost that skill of communication. It's not really being taught at home. Parents don't know how to teach it because maybe they weren't taught. They're not learning it at school, how to be polite, respectful, and an effective communicator. And so when they come out here, we have some pretty strict guidelines. I'm a lot of fun and I make it fun, but there is a level of respect that is required, and that goes both ways. And we make sure that they understand that from the beginning. And we've had a lot of, especially with our younger students and our teenage students, parents come back and they say, hey, they're doing better in school. They're more polite. They used to get in trouble all the time. Now they're saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, at home. They're saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, at school. And they're not in trouble anymore. They're excelling in their classes. And it really comes down to focus and discipline that they're learning out here. And not to say that it's anything magic. It's just having that expectation and then holding them to it. And they're only out here twice a week. But they see that, even our adult students see that change in their confidence, their ability to communicate, get along with their coworkers, sometimes with difficult situations. You can't lose your temper with a horse. Otherwise, the whole thing shuts down. And what you learn is that self-control that transfers into every other aspect of life as well. And being able to say, okay, what is the best way to handle this situation before it turns into a meltdown? And it transverses into every aspect of our lives.
Confidence, respect, self-control. These sound like very biblical skills.
Agreed.
You know, when my daughters were young, 3, 4, 5 years old, I remember we took them to tumbling class. They call it gymnastics, but it was tumbling. Sure. Their confidence level went up because they learned how to control their body, that they could actually execute this. My oldest daughter, we took her to a horse camp. She went for a weekend. It wasn't learning to control her body, but it was learning how to interact with something that could be very intimidating. The horse is much bigger than she is, more than she was, right? She was about 12 years old at that time. What kind of ages do you recommend for parents to bring their children?
So we typically start at age 4 at the earliest. We have had 3-year-olds. Of course, my girls started on horseback when they were about 2. But, you know, that's a little different. Interacting with dad on horseback is a little different than going and listening to an instructor in that sense, and the trust level and the bond and the motor skills. So it's really, you know, you start too early, it's really just a pony ride. And it does build confidence and we do other things, but it may not be quite the right time. We usually recommend 4. At that time, they're a little more responsive, they're listening a little bit better, the motor skills are more developed, and we can help build that confidence going forward and that trust level there. So that's what we typically recommend is age 4. But we also tell people, hey, if you have a student, we have had a lot of parents that have come out and started, like I said, at age 3. If you have a student that you feel confident with, that you say, hey, they speak well, they communicate well, they've got good motor skills for their age, then we start with just a simple one-time intro lesson. And anybody can come out and just book that one-time lesson, come out and see how we do things, and then we can see if we're a good fit for each other. If we're not, hey, I've got other recommendations for other places that do great things around here. Or we may just simply say, maybe not quite yet. Maybe it's not quite time. Maybe wait until the student is 4 or older. But we have a lot of younger students starting in that age range, going through all the way to, we have people that start, again, when they're 10, when they're 12. It's never too late. We have adults that have started in their 60s. In fact, our oldest student that came out for his very first riding lesson, he'd been on horses before, but he felt like he was just along for the ride, and he wanted to learn how to actually ride, not just steer. And that's what I always tell people is there's a difference between steering a horse and riding a horse. It's not a race car, and sitting there yanking their face around makes for a jerky ride for a more reactive horse. And you don't want if you're making jerky motions, the horse is going to be jerky, and it's not going to be very fun. It's going to be scary. And so we learned to ride with our whole body. So there's a difference between riding a horse and steering a horse. And he was 73 when he came out of his very first lesson.
I love it. So we're getting a lesson right now. We're getting our first lesson. So Dave, thanks. Dave Welsh of Cactus Rose Ranch, you're on location today. Beautiful location. It's a fabulous day to be out here. Let's move over to the nonprofit side, working with veterans, first responders, and folks.
Right. So we developed the Healing Heroes with Horses program. And it was really kind of an open program in that sense. We've had special needs kids come through it and all these things. And again, we're not a therapeutic riding center. But I do believe that the Lord has given me a gift for teaching, for communicating, for being able to assess and understand what is the best way to communicate with that individual and help them with what their needs are at this point and how can we use the horses to do that. So it started out that way. We've had a lot of people go through that program, specifically with our Healing Heroes with Horses program that we developed. It's really focused on beginning the healing process from post-traumatic stress. Especially with our veterans, but with our law enforcement, first responders, and others as well that have not been in those roles. You know, people are impacted by post-traumatic stress. The problem has come when we started calling it a disorder, and telling people that they couldn't heal from it, that there was no way back. We can medicate you, we can go to therapy and vent, and we'll give you some good advice and those things, but you're kind of stuck with it and you're never going to heal. One of my mentors, Monty Roberts, he said that he had a real problem with it starting right when we started using it in the early 2000s. You know, when we kind of went from shell shock and those different things like that, combat fatigue, all those things, going to post-traumatic stress disorder. And so he said that post-traumatic stress is an injury, and injuries can heal. And right then and there for me, even though I had been speaking to veterans groups for years and telling them that they could recover from this, you can't use it as an excuse. Ultimately, you know, pointing them to the Lord through what we were talking about, those things. When he said injuries can heal, it was an epiphany for me. And as I've shared that with other people, it's like the healing process begins right then and there, almost just thinking about it in a different way. And so as we had people come out and try us out and go through a one-time healing with horses session and see what we do, it's a ground-based program, learning about communication and all those things that we teach. But this is a really focused course. And as we go through that, we had so many guys and men and women that would come out and they wanted to continue so badly, but they could not afford to do it. And so my wife, Erica, and I began to pray about starting a nonprofit that we could help provide tuition assistance, pay for their tuition completely through that nonprofit. And that's where the Cactus Rose Equine Foundation came about. And that helps fund our Healing Heroes with Horses program.
So like me, you're not a native Texan.
That is true.
In fact, we both came from the Northwest.
Absolutely.
I'm in Oregon. You came from Washington.
Right.
How did you make it out here to Central Texas, to the heart of Texas?
Right. So I was born in Washington. My whole family grew up out there. My folks, they grew up on the Pacific Peninsula. We lived there until I was 13. In 1997, my dad got a job offer from the Christian Coalition, which is Pat Robertson's organization that he developed after he lost the 1988 primary election. And so we moved to Virginia. From Washington, from the Olympia area, we moved out to Virginia Beach, Virginia. And we always said, we never believed that we'd be called to Texas at the time. But that was simply because, I mean, it was such an extreme weather change as part of it, you know, the terrain, of course, as well. But going from, I think the Lord really had, you can see the plan there. Because if we'd have gone straight from Washington to Texas, I don't think we would have made it. We ended up in the Houston area a couple of years. We were in Virginia Beach for a couple of years. The Lord used that as a transition to humidity and heat from the weather in the Northwest, and then called us to Texas, where my dad was part of another nonprofit organization down here. From there, I was in high. I went through high school. We moved here when I was 15, and when I was 18, I joined the Marine Corps and left again. And when I got out of the Marine Corps, there was nowhere else I wanted to go. I couldn't wait to get back here. You know, it really is such a special, unique place. The people, there's a little bit of something for everybody in Texas in that way. It's certainly a transition, and that's why the Lord used, you know, but as you know, coming down from the Northwest is a transition, but it's, you've described it as a calling in this case, in this particular way, but.
Well, exactly. When we were considering coming down here, it was, my wife said she felt drawn, and I definitely felt called. And so we're grateful for the people that we meet here. Texas is a country, very cool. I love being down here.
Right.
More so, I love the people that we get to interact with. It's just an amazing group.
Absolutely.
Amazing group of folks. So you were in the Marine Corps.
Correct.
Now you're doing the Healing Heroes with Horses.
Right.
You have experience on the need for this.
I do. It's one of those things that, so I joined the Marine Corps right out of high school. This was in 2002. And I stayed in for 8 years, so got out in 2010. Spent quite a bit of time in Iraq off and on in those early years, in particular in the from 2004 to 2006, that range, 2003, 2006, somewhere in there. Quite a few trips back and forth. You know, it was certainly one of those things that definitely changed who I was. And my family could see that when I came home. I didn't really see it, right? Because the change was a little gradual for me in that sense. But I did have a hard time adjusting to being home. It wasn't as extreme for me as it was for some other guys. And but I look back, see, at my grandfather and my was a Korean War veteran. He was a Marine in the Chosin Reservoir. And for any of you who know that story, it was extremely brutal circumstances. There was minus 40 degrees. They had no winter clothing. They were surrounded they were completely outnumbered by Chinese troops that had driven down across the Yalu River. And they had to fight their way out of it. It was brutal. He had frostbitten fingers. It was just a lot of different things. And of course, he lost a lot of friends. My father-in-law was a Marine during the Vietnam War, and in fact, ended up losing his arm because of a gunfight where he had an infection, and through a series of amputations, ended up with a nub for his left arm, and he was left-handed, so it was even worse. But lost a lot of friends, and so I thought, surely I don't have post-traumatic stress. I don't have these things. I don't struggle with that. I shouldn't struggle with that. I haven't seen anything near what my father-in-law and my grandfather experienced. And so that shouldn't be an issue for me, and continue to just kind of push down those things and push down those thoughts and push down the depression and the even suicidal thoughts at times and those kind of things. And just feeling like there's days where it's just not worth it. What's the point? You know, and I've served my purpose and there is none left. There's nothing left for me to do. And then the Lord started working in my heart, and it started calling me out of that, and started and began to bring mentors into my life, with even from guys in law enforcement. My dad's a big law enforcement guy. His entire family was law enforcement growing up, so he really gets involved in the law enforcement community. In fact, he's a police chaplain down in Houston. But through that, I was introduced to a guy who talked about struggling with survivor's guilt. He had been in the Marine Corps and then eventually was a law enforcement officer. Had lost guys not only in the military but also had lost partners through gunfights and through suicides while he'd been on the police force. And he was just kind of at the end of his rope, and his marriage was falling apart, his family was falling apart, and he was finally decided to go to counseling. And he said he had an epiphany one day. He said, you know, because he had survivor's guilt, like, why are these guys and not me? And so the counselor said, so are you saying that you would trade places with them if you could? And he said, absolutely. You're saying you would give up your life so that they could live with their families, they could have their family and live the life that, you know. And he said, yeah, I would do that for them. And she said, well, isn't that what they did for you? And he said, wow. It was, yeah, wow. Right?
Yeah.
And so when it's of course when the counselor said that to him, and then when he said it to me, it was just, again, another epiphany. Their sacrifice was to give us the opportunity to live the life that they no longer have the opportunity to live. And the only way that we can honor that sacrifice is by living the life that they would have wanted us to live, the life that they would have lived had they had the opportunity. And so to throw it away and to allow ourselves to be consumed by post-traumatic stress, by depression, and allowing these things to just consume our minds and our hearts, really is a disservice to them. And it's difficult to accept that when you're in that place. And that's where we use the horses to begin that healing process and bring it in. And again, it's nothing magic, but there is something about working with those horses that just brings healing, and it just brings a calming effect. And of course, as we go through that, we go into other details as well that you and I have talked about off air. But it's really a special thing.
Man, that is just a powerful point of view. You know, we think about the greatest sacrifice. We just have gone through the Easter season.
Right.
There's no greater love than laying down your life.
That's right.
It is one of the hardest things to accept a gift. If you're in need, absolutely, and your friends want to come and make, it's hard to say yes. But absolutely, it's the best way to be a friend.
You're right. You're 100% correct.
And this is what that lesson taught.
Right. I completely agree.
Is that the best way to honor that person is to live that life here. Dave, let's talk about the future. Where do you see Cactus Rose Ranch, the nonprofit, services for veterans, for our first responders? Where do you see things going?
So again, through the nonprofit, especially, let's start with that side real quick, because I want to make sure that this word gets out to guys and gets out to individuals out there, whether it's people that want to support those veterans, first responders, and law enforcement officers in that way, or whether it's individuals that are interested in, hey, I want to check that out. I want to know what that's about. So through the nonprofit, we've got a veterans clinic coming up in June, the last weekend of June. It's the 27th through 29th, and it's completely free for qualified participants. And all they've got to do is get on the website and fill out an info form. We'll give them a call, you know, get in touch with them and provide the information, explain more about what we do. And then if that's something that they're interested in, then we get them signed up and we get them out here. It's completely free. We take care of their room and board, so to speak. We cover food for the weekend. And it's a great weekend of camaraderie, of team building, and just being around horses. You don't have to have any experience with horses to participate. So that one's coming up in June.
And you don't have to bring your own horse.
You do not have to bring your own horse. We've got everything that you need. You do have to bring your own boots, you know, at least closed-toed shoes, just in case. But proper clothing, attire, that's all you got to bring. Everything else is going to be right here for you. And then we've got law enforcement clinics that we're in the process of scheduling coming up in the summer, one for first responders as well. So what we try to do is keep these into specific groups, because we want to build that camaraderie. We want to allow those individuals to interact with people of similar backgrounds. And a lot of times those backgrounds overlap. You may have guys that are both veterans and law enforcement, you know, now they're current law enforcement or have been both, or vice versa. Same with first responders. Sometimes those groups overlap, and that's a lot of fun too. But those individuals, they're concerned about reaching out in the first place, so we make it really easy. Just get on the website, fill out a form, answer a couple questions, and then we'll reach out to you. We're not intimidating. I promise I'm an easy guy to talk to, but we would love to get you out here and show you what we do. And we've had guys that say, or people that say, well, I don't know if I could commit to a clinic. Well, come out and try us once, because again, we can get you out here, and it's not at no cost to you. We'll bring you out here. We'll show you what we do. It's just an easy intro session, and then I promise you, they get sold on it real quick when they make the time to come out and see us. So there's that aspect of that side. We also have these are Healing Heroes clinics. So these are weekend clinics. What we do through those is we take guys that are interested in diving deeper into this, not only the horse side, but into the healing side and into the recovery side. And so we have a 4-month program that is the Healing Heroes with Horses program. And that's where they come out twice a week. And, you know, not everybody can make that happen with their schedule and things like that. So we work with them as much as we can, but we try to get them out here to go through that program. And if it's somebody that's interested, again, there's no cost to them. We're covering that through the nonprofit, through the Cactus Rose Equine Foundation. All that tuition is covered. That's where we're trying to drive on that side of things, because we just have a passion for this, not only just for the horses, but for helping individuals begin the healing process. Through that, on the for-profit side, on the Cactus Rose Ranch business, you know, it's a continuation of building up the riding school. We have, again, we have individuals that we can go anywhere you want as far as, you know, we don't do English riding. That's the only thing that we don't do. But if you want to learn how to rope and ride, if you want to learn how to run barrels, if you want to just learn to play day events, if you just like to come out and sit on a horse and walk around and learn the proper way to do it, it's all of those things. And so through that, that's how we are able to do all the other things that we do. We host private events, and we really enjoy that. And depending on a person's budget, it depends on the different options. All that stuff's on our website, and people can reach out to us about that. But also we do host our own events occasionally, which are a lot of fun, where we bring people together, and not only just the community all throughout Central Texas. People come from all over the place. We have even our students right now. We have people that come out and try us once, and they'll say, man, it's really far, but you know what, I'm going to do it. We have people that come from Hillsboro, from West, from Mart, from Belton, even, that come up from all over the place because they've come out and tried us once, and they were sold. And they, you know, it was like, hey, it's worth the drive. And if they can't make the drive, we try to help them find something else that works better for them. But all that, not to toot our own horn too much, but it's worth the drive.
Dave, thanks for the time today.
Absolutely.
Happy to be out here with you.
Agreed. Thank you, Scott.
The Waco Experience, An American Story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.